Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. Let's absolutely talk about how a match that's supposed to be in spirit, no disqualification, ended in disqualification. I started a thread on, well, not a thread, but I started a nice little thing on Twitter. Actually, it's become one of our more popular things of recent. And some people actually did chime in where I just offered match ideas for...
We're talking about Hell in a Cell, by the way.
Talking about Hell in a Cell, where, you know, the ref called... I don't know if DQ is the right response
It wasn't a DQ.
It was a ref stoppage.
It was a... Yes.
Because Seth just kept beating up on Bray, and Bray kept kicking out.
So... Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not even that upset about the disqualification aspect of it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I believe last year they had a Hell in a Cell match end in a...
Yeah, some
DQ.
People referenced it. For the life of me, I can't remember what the situation was.
So while stupid, there is precedent.
Right.
Okay. So I want to take you back to that moment.
Okay.
And there is a lot of talk about the match other than that. For me, I was really digging the match. It was like watching the match, enjoying the match.
Mm-hmm.
I was musing about match of the year potential.
Okay.
And that in large part because it was so very different.
Right.
The red lighting, you might not like it. I understand. That can be a taste thing.
That, and it was a little, it oversaturated a lot of stuff.
You know,
a lot of things kind of blended in together.
Yeah, see,
I appreciate the interesting factor, you know, just doing something different. And I, you know, far be it for me to ever discourage them from doing something different.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And like we always said about the Ring of Fire match a few years back, where like, all right, didn't quite work out as well as we wanted it to, but we're glad you tried.
Glad you tried. Yes.
So I feel kind of like that. Like I don't. It wasn't like a factor that made me hate the match or whatever. But it just had some drawbacks to it. But I appreciate them doing something different.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed and I was enjoying the Fiend as a character. I was enjoying the kick out and ones. I was enjoying the essential no sells of weapon shots.
Yeah.
And so this match, if you can ever go back and stomach watching it again, and like all things considered, full respect if you choose not to do that.
Yeah.
But if you can ever go back and watch it again, it is a horror movie. It is a slasher flick horror movie with an unkillable villain. It is Jason Voorhees, Michael Myers kind of just nonstop. Nothing you can do can put this entity down.
Well, sure. It's like the entire build-up to the match leading up to it for weeks, it was kind of like that. Like, you know, the different elements of a horror movie, like, throughout the entire movie. And this was the third act, essentially.
Well, so, watching, I'm assuming you've never seen a Halloween movie.
Halloween, no.
The franchise, not just general
scary movie. I'm aware of it, yes.
Or Friday the 13th, or Nightmare on Elm Street.
No, I've seen more recent horror movies, but that's about it.
So in these 1980s horror movies, the villains take a beating.
Yeah.
Like, there is a lot of jokes about, like, oh, they're, you know, slashing up and killing these kids, and that happens. But the kids throw stuff at him. Jason gets hit by a car. Jason gets shot with an arrow.
I did watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and like I think Jessica Biel was in it. I think
oh,
it was like
2003 Jessica.
Yeah, but it was Massacre. That same element where like Leatherface,
Leatherface.
He takes quite a beating throughout the entire movie,
yes.
But you know he just no sells it.
He
yeah.
just keeps coming, and that delivers, and the reason that there's 12 Friday the 13th movies and 10, you know, Halloween movies is there is gleeful enjoyment in watching that.
Yeah.
It is it delivers a visceral reactionary thrill of this thing just keeps coming. It's the Terminator is, I guess, a non-horror movie example. But the thing that I feel gets lost in translation is some weird lack of understanding. It's like, when you go and watch a Friday the 13th movie, when you see, oh, they're making Friday the 13th 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah.
People are going there to cheer for Jason.
Yeah.
Jason, like, nobody goes to a Friday the 13th movie to be like, I hope the kids teach him that lesson this
time. Right, or I hope they finally kill the monster.
Right.
You know? Like, yeah. Like, you don't watch, because I was, for a while, I was pretty big into the Saw movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you don't go to the movies like, you know what, I hope these guys all figure out whatever trap they're in.
Right.
And they, you know, they get that all jigsaw and teach them a lesson.
And they're not the common thread.
No.
You're not like, oh boy, Tommy the kid from 4 is going to be in 5 and kill a new different masked killer.
Yeah.
And then in 6, he'll kill a different masked killer.
Yeah.
No, he just fights Jason and then Jason, like it just keeps being Jason.
Having a cool monster is like the majority of these movies.
Right.
Yeah.
That's who you're showing for. And so when you are structuring your match like that, which intentionally or not, you are doing it. You are triggering that same visceral reaction thrill of a horror movie where this thing just keeps coming and you don't know what to do and there's no putting it down and everything you know isn't working and the laws of physics are being defied by evil.
Mm-hmm.
That's a horror movie. It's just it's structured like a horror movie, like a supervillain horror movie character. Who are the good guys? Who are not the good guys, but they are the, you know, cheered for party in a horror movie. And so when you structure it like that, nobody is really cheering for Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
He is the victim. And so when that happens, watching a power bomb is not the exciting part of this match.
No. Yeah.
Watching a curb stomp is not the exciting part of this match. Watching the Fiend kick out of a power bomb or a curb stomp.
Watching the Fiend wheel a giant, almost cartoonish mallet. That's cool.
Well, that's
fun.
It's more than just like this is what the entire build-up to the match. I'm like, literally, just from bell to bell, the entire match is structured around the Fiend being the main character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't at the end.
No.
And as I was sitting, and this is before the rest stoppage, it's like the final one was before the rest stoppage, where it's like, I get that this is all a build-up to a super kick-out, because that's what I assumed at the time. But I was like, this is starting to lose that because we're focusing too much on Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Who, in all truest and deepest respect to everything that Seth Rollins has done for this industry and this company and this business, Seth Rollins is not the main character in this story. Seth Rollins is a prop of the Fiend story, a necessity of means to an end.
He is the hapless deputy of the small town that's trying to chase the monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that just, yes, the ref stoppage DQ ending feels weirdly tone deaf. But even more so to me is you don't even understand the story that you're telling as you're telling it. And I don't know if that's Seth to blame, Bray Wyatt to blame, the ref to blame, I guess, WWE to blame, Vince or Triple H. But like I don't know. Who is not seeing this happen?
Yeah.
I am. Even in this day of powering through, Roman Reigns will be cheered.
Yeah.
You know, stone cold determination. I literally felt like they might call an audible at this moment.
Yeah.
The reaction was... The reaction was post-WrestleMania Roman ended the Taker career palpable.
Yeah, no, the crowd was angry. And honestly, I don't blame them.
I don't blame them at all.
You know, it felt real non-committal knowing what's coming down the pipeline after this. You know, you got the draft coming. You've got another Blood Money Saudi Arabia show coming.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like, you know, they wanted to keep the belt on Seth, but they didn't want to kill the momentum that The Fiend has grown so far, in which it is sizable, that momentum.
Yes.
But at that point, like, having this match in the first place, like, you did it to yourself.
Yes.
You know, like, you it's not that, you know, the anyone forced you into this corner. You put yourself in the corner. And I would just come up with a better finish than that to get whatever desire or whatever reaction you want or the desired outcome.
So here's what's interesting about the goals that you just stated.
Yeah.
Your belief is, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but
sure.
Your belief is WWE wanted to achieve two things: keep the title on Seth and not kill the momentum of The Fiend.
That's what I'm being. That's what I was led to believe.
No, that's totally fair.
Yeah,
that's
my interpretation.
Yes,
but
then that's totally fair. I'm not going to disagree with that. But in doing that, see, I did not watch Raw this week.
Lucky.
Another thing is like it was a situation where like I was never going to be able to watch it live on Monday.
Just had too busy of a week.
Was going to have to cram it in somewhere.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. And then I just didn't. And I texted you at the time, you and the Trashy Boys, where I was like, hey, somebody, you know, who's watching this live, let me know about the Seth reaction.
Yeah.
Because I want to know what that live reaction was before I watch the edited, you know,
and there
versions.
Was no Seth, backstage Seth, no, nothing in front of the camera.
Right.
They did like a very quick recap of what happened last night. And that was like, I think halfway through the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was not mentioned. Like that brief minute or two was the only mention of anything in the Universal title picture.
Right. And so they basically ignored that storyline.
Yeah.
Which that I'm sure was an audible call. I'm sure that was a decision made
now,
after Hell in a Cell.
Word is
pre-Raw.
Bray is dealing with a minor injury.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably a reason why, you know, he wasn't on the show. He might have shown up in the dark match. I'm not sure, but either way, yeah, it's definitely an audible that neither guy was on the show.
Right. So that didn't happen. I, you know, wake up on Tuesday. Oh boy, let me see somebody's, you know, posted about this online, or there's like an uploaded YouTube clip, or you know, you didn't tell me, but I was like, well, maybe fell asleep, and then it's like, nope,
I did
nothing,
a few times.
Nothing happened. And I checked the internet and nothing happened. But there is always talk about, you know, what, you know, did happen.
Yeah.
And so this happened. And like, here's the next step in this Rusev, Lana, Bobby Lashley thing. And I was like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
And this little tiny voice is like, you don't have to see that.
Right.
You
That's
can
the
just
seed that grows
you,
through
you,
your
You
mind.
Can just
yeah.
stop. And so I feel like I want to talk to you about this. This is a little bit of a tangent, but I'm going to bring it back.
Okay.
I want to talk about collecting for a second.
Okay.
As you know, I enjoy the practice of collecting things.
Yeah.
I have collected most general things.
I've absorbed a little bit of that in the years that I've known you.
Mm-hmm.
I've absorbed a little bit myself. I'm nowhere near your level.
Right.
But, you know, as far as vinyls and, like, hats and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
but you take collecting to a whole different level.
Yeah. Most things. I mean, with CDs and video games and
not in, like, we don't want to paint the wrong picture to our listeners. Not in, like, a crazy hoarder, you know, situation. Like, we have plenty of space around the house to move and
yes.
and live. But you've got a healthy collection of a lot of things.
Yes. You know, and a lot of the basic things, like I've at one point had a coin collection,
yeah.
I've had baseball card collection, I've had Pokemon collection, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
There comes this time in collecting, through various things where you just where you don't get something.
Yeah.
Because you don't want that one.
Yeah.
You don't want, you know, and there's something that was like, that's just too much.
Yeah.
That costs it's too much.
Not worth the price, not worth the hassle or whatever right. the case may be.
And as you're going through stuff, you sit there and you're like, I can't justify,
yeah.
you know, this purchase for that thing. Mm-hmm. And you make this conscious decision that my collection will be incomplete.
Yeah.
It will have that hole in it because I cannot pay that money for that.
Mm-hmm.
This happened recently. I had a complete run of a certain line of video games.
Yeah.
The like 46th one in there, I was like, I was actually the 47th one in there.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't do it. I don't want to spend this amount of money on that game just because of that reason.
Right.
And I'm not going to do it. I'm going to have that hole in my collection. And very immediately, right after that, I was like, I haven't bought 46 yet. Like, I was going to.
Yeah.
But I was like, I was like, I'm going to buy it ultimately so that I have the complete collection.
Right.
And now I'm not because of 47. And do I want 46?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't necessarily think I do. Now, and again, not for that price. Now, right. for that price and a complete collection, yes. But I'm already not going to get a complete collection. And so, not that. And then I look back at the games that I have, and I was like, wait a minute. That was just to fill the hole.
Yeah.
That was just to be the complete collection.
Right.
You do the same thing where you're like, I'm getting all original 150 cards of Pokemon. I'm going to get this. And then you're like, I just can't justify this purchase. And then I'm like, all the other ones are suddenly cardboard now.
Right.
It just washes the magic away. Yeah. And so I haven't watched Raw yet.
Yeah.
And the reason that I watch Raw a lot is like because I always watch Raw.
Right.
And the reason I watched Raw last week is I have to watch Raw. And this thing is like, it's this Bobby Lashley and Rusev thing. Yeah. And I don't have to watch that. But because ultimately, it's not going to go anywhere. And I know it's not going to go anywhere. And it's like, yep. well, wait a minute. Nothing ever goes anywhere.
No.
And that's not even like a boo-hoo, wah-wah-wah, WWE thing. It's just this show doesn't have an ending. This isn't like Game of Thrones where I'm going to sit down and I'm going to... And so, like, the Game of Thrones is a big thing right now. It's like, oh, that ending was so bad. Da, 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 da. I never would have started if I knew it was going to end like that. And I'm like, well, wrestling's always going to end like that.
Yeah.
On account that it doesn't end.
Yeah.
You just watch it till it's bad.
You're never going to have a satisfying ending when it doesn't end.
Right.
You know?
And
if it does ever end, it's not going to be satisfying because it's probably going to be something out of nowhere that ends up ending.
Well, and even if you're like, I'm watching it for this story, and this story had a satisfactory ending,
mm-hmm.
8 years later, somebody's going to be like, there is enough money for Shawn Michaels to come out of retirement.
You're just going to pick at that moon, aren't you?
It's the perfect example.
You're absolutely right.
It's the absolute perfect example.
It is the quote-unquote final season of Scrubs.
Well, and it's just, it's very much a thing where it's like, I don't have to watch this.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to put yourself through it.
Right. And this is not a grandiose, is like, I'm free. Wrestling shall never cross my door again. But that's, you know, I am sure I'm not the only person that felt that way.
Sure. And I mean,
and to have this happen at the exact moment in time
mm-hmm.
where AEW is doing this. Da, da.
Yeah.
And like, as of right now, I have seen every AEW episode. And we're right back into that thing where it's like, you know, I've seen every single episode of AEW.
Can't stop now, yeah.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh, Scott, I'm mad, but like, I've seen every single episode. Yeah. Why would I, you know, like, I can suffer through this because I got that complete collection, or that's what I do, or I'm the guy who's seen every single episode of AEW.
Right.
And from point, you know, certain to point certain, I was like, I have seen every episode of Raw.
Yeah.
You know, even if I've seen the 90-minute version, if I, like, it's your personal decision, I can sleep comfortably being like, 90 minutes is I've seen Raw.
But you can, like, be like, here's the beginning of my fandom, and from that point mm-hmm. till this point, watch every single episode.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's honestly not even true, just because I've missed episodes here and there. Like, I have not been keeping that count. But the just, I haven't seen it. I don't have to see it. I'm not going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, I won't know what's going on next week. And it's kind of like, so?
They'll remind you.
And so what? Like I'll, somebody will tell me.
Yeah.
If there's something I should see.
Yeah.
And just the everything's cardboard all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Nothing is.
Well, and it also, it doesn't help that, like, you know, with AEW and everything, there's this influx of weekly wrestling where it's like added in a second hour of NXT and now this other 2 hour show. That's 3 hours of wrestling in your week. You don't feel like you necessarily can add 3 hours to your week.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, it's better to just add that and take away.
I know. There's this 3 hour segment that.
So it's like just to balance it out. So clearly, WWE is making Raw their B show right now. So.
Well, and.
Without wanting to, you know, shorten it to 2 hours.
Right. And I'm talking about this like it's this big, profound thing and like my viewing habits have forever altered. And that's not the case.
Yeah.
And it not only was it 1 week, the draft is this Friday and next Monday. And unless they really, you know, bungle the draft, which not putting anything past them.
Yeah.
Drafts are fun.
Drafts are fun.
And so I will be like, oh boy, the draft. And I'll watch both episodes.
Yeah.
So I can watch the full draft.
They did release the rules or the structure of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Just like last time, since Raw is 3 hours, they'll get three picks for every SmackDown.
Two.
There's going to be a match.
It's picks. It's you know,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not like this, you know, oh, we fight a match and.
Well, there is going to be one match.
Okay.
To start off the show, Roman Reigns representing SmackDown versus Seth Rollins representing Raw. Winner of that gets the first pick for the show.
Okay.
And making the picks is apparently, and again, I don't know if these are plants or what, but apparently we're getting officials from the USA Network and from Fox to make the picks. So there's still no like authority figures.
Oh my lord, I would love that.
Because that was what I was wondering. I'm like, there's no real like authority figure over Raw, over SmackDown. Like I figured, yeah, maybe Heyman and Bischoff, but they don't really want.
They haven't been characters. They haven't been those characters.
Right.
Heyman has been a character that's antagonistic of all WWE.
Yes. But they haven't really addressed on the nose that, you know, he's running Raw, he's running SmackDown. So that is an interesting fix to that. I figured, like, if anything, they'll just, like, and the pick is show a graphic on the big screen. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah.
But I would be interested if these are actual, you know, officials from these networks.
I would be more into this than anything WWE has done this year.
Yeah.
Save for maybe Becky at WrestleMania.
Or if they, like, then they can have, like, the, like, network officials for, like, a few of the picks.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do it like the NFL draft where, like, you know, next pick is the Chicago Bears, let's bring out this legendary Chicago, former Chicago Bear player. Or someone associated with a team or something.
Yeah.
In that case, you know, be like, hey, here's the star of, you know, Mr. Robot to come make the pick for USA. And then you really get to judge the star power of the USA Network with the stars of the Fox, which is just like, well, here's an NFL player, here's an NFL player, here's another A-list guy, and, you know, probably a boxer.
Well, no, but like if they could convince me that it's like we don't have any story written post Monday.
Yeah.
You, Fox, and USA are going to draft style select who is going where, and we will create wrestling television based on who you select.
Yeah. That see, but from what I understand, like they've already picked
everything. I'm sure they have in real life.
They haven't told any of the wrestlers yet.
No.
They might have told, like, the few of the top people, but no one really knows.
Right.
But it is weird that if they, again, if they are actual officials, be like, hey, USA Network, come on over to Fox and be on your quote-unquote competitor, so to speak, and, you know, help us make compelling television on a different channel.
I mean, if I were, like, if I was the USA, like, yeah, it's live television, I'm just going to say Roman Reigns.
It's like, he was picked 3 picks ago. Don't care. Still want him.
I will say, I will also, all of this grumping, complaining, Roman Reigns is going to come out to do this match on SmackDown, and Seth is going to come out to do this match on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And given that where we are in the life of Seth Rollins as a character with Hell in a Cell and not existing, Roman Reigns will get the cheer they've always wanted.
I don't, well, I can't even, I don't even remember where SmackDown is. I don't know. I really want that to happen. Because honestly, like, again, this isn't Seth's fault, because this is just how that Hell in a Cell match was booked. But he's going to get the brunt of it, because he's not the guy that the crowd wanted to win.
Right.
And he's the guy who benefited from the that match ending the way it did.
Seth is a heel now. Seth is a heel in the way that Roman Reigns was a heel for 3 years, and it was never acknowledged.
Yeah.
Like, that's just where we are realistically sitting.
Well, yeah, like, if they would ever, like, actually lean into that and, like, you know, be like, hey, this match reawoken, you know, the evilness of Seth Rollins that we used to know or whatever.
Right.
That'd be an interesting way of going about it.
I mean, I would hope that they, I mean, not to say, like, oh, they've learned the lesson, but, like, I would hope that they would not try and do the, he's still a face.
Yeah.
Buy the t-shirt.
I feel like they've kind of exhausted as many facets of Seth as a face as you can probably get, unless there's something I'm not thinking of. But it feels like he's kind of done everything as a like, he beat Brock Lesnar twice.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't even think Roman Reigns did that.
No,
you know. So yeah, it feels about time.
Yeah.
But at the same moment, like, they need more top faces.
They do. They desperately need some faces. Yeah. But we will, obviously, next podcast, have lots to say about the draft, I'm sure.
But all that being said, Roman is going to win that match. SmackDown's going to get the number one pick, and they're going to pick Roman.
Yeah.
Point blank. Like, that's
The only other, I mean, I don't know, is, are Brock and Cain Velasquez, like, in this?
Yeah.
Are they part of it? Because Brock wasn't part of the draft. Like, very specifically, Brock was free agent Brock.
Yeah.
When it was like, even why? Just, he's never going to be on SmackDown. He's just going to be on Raw.
Yeah. And they did specifically say, like, anyone that is not drafted can sign with whatever show as a free agent.
Yeah. The other thing that I would be interested in is, The Undertaker has been in the graphic as if he was a
still
current
prominent
wrestler.
Yeah.
And so I would be interested to see if anybody was going to waste their pick on The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Or Kane.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me go back to Raw for a quick second.
Okay. I didn't watch it.
I know you didn't. But I want to just tell you about
it's all cardboard.
it so is.
It's all
that might be
just cardboard.
Can that be our new slogan instead of stay classy and huzzah? It can be like, it's all cardboard. Cardboard ring attire. Let me tell you about that final segment. Okay? It was another thing between Braun Strowman and this Fury dude, who apparently had years ago said a lot of homophobic things.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's just, that's fun. So, in this segment, I am not going to lie, I dozed off and woke up 4 times. And that's not saying, like, I'm a light sleeper. No. That's how long that segment was. And it was one of those things where they talked for a couple minutes, or Braun talked for a couple minutes, and then, you know, here comes Tyson Fury, and they do that thing where they start scrambling, they start, you know, fighting or whatever, and then security and other members of the roster come in to break them up, and then somehow they break away, and they start fighting again. I lost count of how many times they repeated that in that one freaking segment. It's like, oh, they're separating again. Doze off. Oh, okay, they're fighting. Oh, they're separating again. Doze off. Wake up. Oh, okay, they're separating. Like, it kept happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come up with something different. Like, something, some other way to put some heat behind this feud to make people care because
I will
people
say,
don't care.
I will say, I have seen break apart fight, break apart fight, break apart fights that work great. Very specifically, Brock and Undertaker after the ending
of the streak.
But I
remember at that point, like, they hadn't done that in a while.
Well back, and it wasn't
but
that. They, it,
but
wasn't,
it
was.
It also is dependent on the performances of the two main guys.
It was the fact that that guy, who I knew and cared about, had broken the streak of that guy, who I knew and cared about, and
backstory.
And concluded a 20 WrestleMania storyline.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to see that going. It also opened up the show. Yeah. It was at peak hype. I had not.
Mm-hmm. And
when we talk about, like, Raw is a survival game now.
Yeah.
And, like, and I had not just survived 3 hours of Raw. I was at the beginning.
Yes,
I was excited
that
to see
is
it.
Also a very important element of it. And in that situation, you also had that great moment of Brock yelling, "I'm going to kill you," and Undertaker responding, "You're going to have to."
Yeah.
That's gold.
Yeah.
And it probably wasn't scripted. And if it was, they did an amazing job of delivering it.
Yeah.
There were no such memorable moments about this. It was just, it felt like, okay, we did this. Now let's do it again. And
so,
do it again, do it again, do it again.
So TV is back. Like, fall TV
yes.
shows are coming back.
Yes.
As I scroll through Hulu, and it's like, latest show, such and such. And I find myself more often than not going, oh, that got renewed. That got a second season?
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that I saw, I was like, oh, that'll be an interesting show. And I just never got around to seeing it. And then, like, oh, I assume that got canceled. And then
it wasn't a show that you necessarily heard a whole lot of buzz about.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's happened 3 or 4 times this year. It's like, oh, that got a second season. Surprised. I'm just kind of like getting like, oh, nostalgical old. Like, 10 years ago, I would have known that. I would know every show that got canceled, every show that got a second season.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the ratings.
I remember those days. You were very, very plugged in. And like, anytime I had a question, I would talk to you before I looked it up online.
Right. I knew that, and I was aware of it, and it's like, it's a combination of like time and, you know, other responsibilities and a little bit everything is cardboard. And it's just a thing where it's like, and some of it though is also probably being old.
Yeah.
And getting older and just not being
not having the time.
Well, yeah, and
the energy anymore.
And that, as you know, I'm experiencing more and more, and I'm not, you know, blowing the minds of any old people, but that's why you're not cool and hip with it anymore is not because what is cool and hip now sucks or came out of nowhere. It's just it's like, I don't have time.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to catch up on this thing, and like that, I can't. You're all moving too fast, and you're not moving any faster necessarily than when I could keep up with it.
Yeah.
But I've got more bills, and which I didn't have to worry about, and this grass keeps growing in my front yard.
Right, yeah.
And so that's fine, and that's life. And I say all this to be like, maybe this Tyson Fury guy is actually a big deal. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just me.
I don't know. Maybe I'm not looking in the right places, but everywhere I look, I see nothing but apathy about this entire situation.
And somebody made this post that was like, oh, yeah, you know, this Tyson boxer guy that they're shoving all down our throats.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, bait and switch. I'm watching old stuff and talking about Mike Tyson and Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Kind of saying, like, they've done this before. This is not unusual. And I was like, yeah, but having never seen a Tyson fight in person.
Yep.
Like that Mike.
There's a big difference, yeah.
Mike Tyson was still a cultural entity.
Yes.
In my pop cultural awareness.
Yes. He was a cultural phenomenon in 1997.
I have not played Tyson Fury's punch out.
No. No.
I mean,
first of all, boxing was red hot.
Yeah.
Mostly because of Mike Tyson, but during the 90s, the mid to late 90s, boxing was red hot. I would argue to say that boxing probably hasn't been ever less popular than it is right now.
Yes.
No one cares.
Mm-hmm.
No one watches it to nearly the extent that it used to.
Real quick rundown.
Yeah.
There's 4 different boxing titles. Nobody can agree on which one's the most important.
Right.
And all the boxing that you care about costs $60 to see.
Yeah.
There is no way to get into the sport. The Super Bowl is on free television. The theoretical best game of the year is on free television. The World Cup, the Olympics are all on free television.
World Series.
Which is why I suddenly get super into archery and curling every 2 years.
And it, because it's success.
Because it's right there, and here are the best people in the world doing it. Mm-hmm. And like boxing.
Even amateur boxing.
Yeah.
At the Olympics.
Yes. But boxing, it's like, oh, you want to see the best in the world? $60.
Right.
You want to see the 40th best in the world? You can see that for free.
Yeah.
You
can watch that on ESPN. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, no, boxing has boxed itself out, no pun intended,
yeah,
of general, you know, cultural branding awareness.
Yeah. And I mean, like, yeah, I understand, like, you want to...
You have two. You have Floyd Mayweather, and you have Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
Who could move the cultural needle.
And honestly, like, they were probably the last, because De La Hoya had already retired. You know, Holyfield was long since retired. Like, there's no names anymore. You know, all you have are, the closest they have are guys that were associated or trained with or trained by Mayweather. Mm-hmm. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
And it's just.
Well, and you have people who are being discussed as the next Mayweather.
Yeah.
But they're not.
Yeah.
Because.
And let's be honest, Mayweather was only a personality because his fights were boring.
Yep.
Dear Lord, the guy could just wait a clock out.
Well, he could, but I mean, there is some thrill in, you know, this undefeated streak just keeps getting longer.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm not going to knock that if you're excited to watch that. I understand where the appeal comes from. And I'm not saying boxing is dead as a sport, and you know,
but right now it's as least popular as it's ever been.
Yes,
you know, not saying it can't recover because it certainly can.
There might be. I mean, it can take the right, you know, and you can even make an argument. I'm not going to agree with you, but you can make an argument and a valid argument that Tyson Fury is that person, and this is the steps for that. Mm. But right now, no.
No, it's not. And for anyone that is making that comparison of, well, WWE used, you know, Mike Tyson in 97, 98.
And even Floyd Mayweather came.
Yeah. And still, this isn't that. This does not equal those two situations. Like, this is someone who is far, far less. Like, it's just a collective who?
Yeah.
Anytime you mention them.
Absolutely. Like, and we... No, I'll take the blame. I spoke pretty poorly of Cain Velasquez showing up last week, but I will say he is still a better pick because he is a bigger name.
And
there's a reason why he's facing Brock and this guy's facing Braun.
Right. And, you know, again, it was probably a bad idea to have them both debut or, you know, start their storylines or whatever on the same episodes. But if you wanted to talk about, like, you know, cultural relevancy or even just being popular enough to be in the main event of a show, you still played second fiddle to Cain Velasquez. Like, what is that? Like, that pretty much tells you everything you need to know about how not a big deal Fury is.
We'll return to this because it won't go away
again.
But
they're apparently going to fight on a show that we're not going to watch anyway.
Yes.
So.
But we need to touch on AEW because there was good wrestling.
There was good wrestling. AEW, second episode, it was really good. It was a lot of fun.
I think a few important points. Private Party beat the Young Bucks.
Did not see that coming.
It was kind of like a pipe dream. It was like, man, that would just... But because... And it was a thing that... You know, I think we talked about very briefly last week when they showed the bracket, mm-hmm. was like, that would be a great instant main event, you know, thing is to go from being on the pre-show of one of their early things to beating the Young Bucks clean, you know, in this tournament.
Yeah.
That would be a great stamp of relevancy, basically. But I was like, but and I don't know, maybe we're just like so conditioned to the WWE bummer of like, you know, how booking works.
Mm-hmm.
But this was huge, and that's exactly what booking should be. The Young Bucks ate a loss. They did it cleanly, and they lost no momentum.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it would have been real easy for them to just embrace nepotism,
mm-hmm.
you know? But if you look at it, like, none of the members of the Elite or any of the executive vice presidents, none of them are the champions. You know, Brandy's not the women's champion.
Right.
I don't think any member of the Elite is even in the tournament anymore. Like, you have cast members such as, you know, SEU that are
mm-hmm.
competing next week, I think.
Yeah. Or,
but still.
Cody's undefeated.
Cody is undefeated. But he does have a championship match coming up.
Yeah, but he's the only one that's undefeated. I think. And so basically,
Jericho isn't Jericho undefeated too?
Yeah, but he's not a member of the Elite, is
well,
he?
Yeah.
I'm saying that you know,
out of the people from the Elite, yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're right.
And the thing is, people tuned in to this to watch the Elite win.
Yeah,
like if the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and Cody are winning,
yeah.
you know, 98% of their matches, everybody, yeah, that checks out. Those yeah. are some of the best wrestlers in the world in their respective categories.
It is, I mean, because there was a moment in All In, specifically, like, and I don't want to diminish the match or anything, but, you know, there was a little moment after Cody won the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship where I'm just like, okay, he just booked himself to win, like, you know, one of the most historical belts ever. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. And, you know, but that really has been really the only nepotism moment that you could probably point
well,
to.
Well, and that's, I don't even have a problem with that because
it made for a great moment.
Well, and Cody can't decide who that title goes to. Cody has no say over that.
Right.
I mean, he can make suggestions all day long, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
But like that's not like the AEW championship.
That's NWA's call.
Right. Yeah. And so NWA says, you know, we would love to obviously have our title on Cody. And Cody's like, I have this perfect moment for it.
Yeah.
That's a win-win-win for everybody.
Absolutely, yeah. But yeah, no, it's just, it's because you've heard about so many moments in the past through a lot of different companies, like WCW and with TNA, where, you know, the guys who have, you know, the pencil that's, you know, that are booking things,
mm-hmm.
that they're also still in, you know, in-ring competitors really just wanting to put themselves over.
Yeah.
And you don't really get that feel it at AEW. It's more of, okay, these guys are legit just trying to make the best wrestling product that they can make.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, but then again, Cody is still undefeated, so that could just be coming unraveled. And he does get really special interests pretty much every time he comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
there's that. But by and large, aside from that, you don't really get that vibe.
It also, to date, has not yet felt undeserved.
No.
And that's part of the thing. And I will give credit due with WWE. The McMahon family is entertaining.
Yeah.
Yes, Vince has been the WWE championship and a Royal Rumble winner. And yes, I'll bring back ECW, but I get to be the champion and wear a do-rag.
Yeah.
Like, you can put all this as, like, terrible garbage nepotism, but, like, Mr. McMahon is an insanely entertaining character.
Yeah.
And this is not, I mean, sure, it's Vince living out his wrestling fantasies, but it's also not just that. And so, right now, Cody doesn't feel like an undeserved,
no,
you know, undefeated
character.
Character, yeah.
Thank you. yeah, and so it's like that. That's fine. You know, I'm like, I could use Kenny Omega getting a couple more wins under his belt.
It's got to the point where we're like, okay, guys, have a little bit of nepotism and let Kenny win a freaking match already. Yeah, it was. But by and large, this week's episode, it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a new faction starting up with Jericho. And
one of our first real, true, like, promos for how they're going to do.
Yep.
It was great to give the microphone to Jericho. That's, you know, obviously a safe move, but a correct move to do.
Yeah.
Especially since he, you know, completely steered the crowd in any direction he wanted them to go.
Yeah.
I get that, you know, bring in Jack Hager out. The We the People chant was going to be a thing.
Yeah. And Jericho put it into it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Pretty convincingly. Like, I'd be interested to see if any other crowds try to do a We the People chant from this point on.
I would be curious, too.
But, yeah, we did get the numbers. AEW did, like, a 1.14 million, where NXT did just over 750,000. Which is kind of in the range of what last week was like.
Yeah.
I mean, again, this is also, you had two game fives going on with the baseball playoffs.
Yeah.
So really, like, and that's going to be your competition here for the next few weeks.
And also, you remember how we, you know, spent all last week saying, like, week one means nothing.
Sure.
Week two means slightly more.
It does mean slightly more.
Not nothing, like, but not much.
I don't remember the exact number from week one, but it doesn't seem like there was a whole lot of fall off from week one,
right,
which is impressive.
Well, and I would say if NXT is, if USA is happy with these numbers, NXT should be happy with these numbers.
Yeah.
NXT has a much harder thing to climb. AEW is still the brand new shiny toy in the box.
Absolutely.
AEW very much has a, you know, place to fall. Like, they can obviously still rise in the ratings, but they have a long way to go down. I don't know how much NXT has to go down.
Yeah.
Especially sharply. Like, they might go down slowly over a 5-year span.
Yeah.
But AEW could very quickly wear out its welcome. Like, oh, it's just wrestling. I don't, you know. I came back to try it out, but I am a past fan.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going. And you could see over the next 2 months, AEW start to sharply decline.
Yeah.
Possibly, potentially. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
Yeah. Someone had made an interesting analysis of the situation where it's like NXT is basically being used to take all the bullets from AEW. That way, like, Raw and SmackDown can pretty much do whatever they want, pretty much, like, mostly unscathed.
I don't like what they're doing.
Right. And again, this could just be Raw was just kind of a, you know, treading water until the draft kind of episode.
Yeah, yeah, and I get that.
And we'll see how next week is going.
Drafts are reset. I mean, we also, you know how the, you know, the you suck chant sometimes turns into a suck you chant in your brain, and you're like, wait, I gotta, which way?
Really? Because I always hear F you. For some reason, I'm like, wow, that's really strong. And then I'm like, oh, they're chanting you suck. Okay. Okay.
But they're doing that with, like, because SmackDown Live and then Raw, and then SmackDown has the draft, and now Raw. And so I'm like, oh, so the new season really starts with SmackDown. I'm like, oh, so.
Yeah, it's just like, so does the wrestling week start on
so
Friday?
It's like, okay, Monday comes before Friday.
Yeah, and honestly.
But somehow Friday's show comes before Monday's show.
And honestly, that's why we're recording this on a Thursday night. Just
yes.
Because it's like, all right, we've got so much other stuff that had happened before this. We've got, if we waited till after the draft, this podcast is going to be an hour and a half long.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see that this feels like the end of the wrestling week right now.
It does. And the beginning of the next wrestling week is tomorrow.
Yes.
It's weird.
Because nothing ever ends and everything's cardboard.
Everything is cardboard. That's going to be the title of this episode, isn't it?
Probably.
All right, cool.
Unless I forget, that's the title of this episode. Do you have anything else?
No, that's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays sometimes, and Saturdays sometimes now. Every day of the week. Go out.
Except for Tuesdays and Thursdays. Leave me Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Hug your kids on Thursdays, guys.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to classicringattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
And you could find Class Ring Attire on Facebook. Give us a like on there, and you can catch up with everything that we have going on with the podcast, as well as other stuff that me and Joel have been working on.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.